I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. While many employers have traditionally viewed their younger employees as their most precious assets, the truth is that their more seasoned workers are often their most valuable. In the new book, Working Longer, published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association, William J. Rothwell, Harvey Stearns, Diane Spokas, and Joel Reeser give recruiters, managers, and trainers the tools they need to nurture and empower these vital employees. The book includes creative strategies for recruiting retirees and developing a senior-friendly workplace, career and performance management techniques for effectively motivating and engaging older workers, and instructional design facilitation methods that will enable older workers to upgrade their skills. William J. Rothwell, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Bill, why is retaining older employees important right now, and why should business leaders care about it?
As you know, we have a very large number of baby boomers in the United States, and in fact, in all of the players of World War II, the UK, France, Germany, Japan, nearing retirement age. And when they leave the workforce, they're followed by a much smaller group that we call the baby bust. So it will become more difficult for employers in the U.S. and in those other developed economies to recruit people of younger age categories. It's best that we keep our very experienced people who often have a lot of institutional memory, who do not require additional training because they already have been trained in our workforce.
Why should employers care about retaining older workers when economic conditions might make it difficult for any worker to leave?
I did an interview with one of the major newspapers in the U.S., and they said, with an unemployment rate that seems to be on the increase, why is it that employers are continually crying that they don't have the right people? And I said, you've answered your own question. The people who become unemployed are often different from the people that we are trying to retain. People with special skills, people who possess special proprietary knowledge of our business or of our customers or of our products or of our services. So it becomes particularly important to keep that institutional memory. Some research suggests that fewer than 40% of all U.S. companies have taken any steps at all to transfer the knowledge that has been gained from very experienced technical workers like engineers to the next generation of engineers. We all know that with baby boomer retirements, we may be facing a loss of institutional memory. If an engineer retires after 40 years of work, and we're in a high-tech industry where we depend on engineering knowledge for our competitive advantage, that person is taking with them significant knowledge of our business. Certainly, we can go out to a university and hire a green university graduate. But that person does not have 40 years of knowledge about our business, our customers, our products, what it took to get us to where we are today with our products, and what that current level of knowledge means for getting to the next generation of whatever it is, cell phones, computers, public works projects, medical research. There are medical research institutions today very concerned about what is going to happen when medical researchers who have been pursuing cures for many illnesses end up retiring, and we have maybe not taken the steps we should to pass on to the next generation what they know so that we can then take up the baton and continue the relay race to finding a cure for an illness. The problem ripples across many different industries, many different labor groups, many employers that are just worried about getting the work product out today sometimes find it challenging to think about long-term solutions. I like to say that the whole baby boom retirement is sort of like a glacier. glaciers are massive and very slow moving. It's easy to lose track and ignore that glacier, but it's so massive that eventually it's going to overtake us. I believe that is one of the challenges we have today.
What common stereotypes about older employees, specifically those over 55, are simply untrue?
Probably the best known and the most wrong-headed is that you cannot teach old dogs new tricks. We've no doubt all heard that saying, but the reality is there are differences in the human brain between older people and younger people. The difference is between what we call fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. Fluid intelligence is the ability to learn new things quickly. Crystallized intelligence is the ability to rely on our experience from previous work and previous training to consolidate what we've learned into new solutions. Not surprisingly, younger workers are better at fluid intelligence, but older workers are better at crystallized intelligence. That means that experience really does matter. And if we value experience, then we have to value the experience of those older workers.
I saw a New York Times article, the title was, "Older Brains Truly Are Wiser Brains."
That's true. And of course, one of the things that we are going to have to be aware of is that we are now competing for talent on a global basis. One of my predictions, because I've done quite a bit of work in the Asia-Pacific region, is that because experience is valued in Asia, but youth is valued in Western nations, we will see a significant brain drain of experienced executive talent and professionals leaving post-retirement to the Asia-Pacific region, where their experience will be highly valued and some of them will make out in pay better than they have ever made out in the U.S. or in Western Europe.
Are you actually saying that there's going to be a migration of aging boomers from the United States to the Pacific Rim?
I believe that we will see that if current conditions hold. One of the unknown factors, of course, is what the rising price of oil will do to the whole trade situation in the world. If it becomes more expensive to export goods from China or Asia than it is to ship it in from Mexico or South America, that could change the dynamic. But if things hold the way they have been until now, where we see explosive growth in the whole Asia-Pacific region, I believe we will see a significant migration of seasoned executives, technical workers, and professional workers post-traditional retirement age to the Asia-Pacific region.
Bill, what secrets should employers know about recruiting these older workers?
Older workers, particularly those past the traditional retirement age, and especially if they are lucky enough to receive a pension or were highly compensated, are looking for a little bit different challenge than maybe the young people. Of course, we can delve into some of the generational differences. We've all seen some of that literature about what the Gen X, Gen Now, Gen Y generations are looking for. Baby boomers will be probably looking for a professional challenge, a way to use their abilities in creative new ways. And of course, there is research that says that when people reach retirement age, there are generally three paths that they take. One is they continue doing what they have always done, but maybe not at the same speed or level of intensity. A second group of people remember the dream. When they were younger, they may have wanted to do something else, like be an artist. If they have the money, they may go back to the dream and completely change their career path. And then a third group of people may follow the traditional retirement route, at least for a while, until perhaps they realize that their retirement funds are not as large as they might need. We all know that one of the current problems is that the trend has been for employers to pass on double-digit increases in health insurance to retirees, and that is diminishing the retirement war chest that a lot of retirees have established.
What should employers know about managing and training older workers?
It's like managing volunteers. The difference between managing a person who is forced to work in order to pay the bills and managing people who may not have to do that. If you are lucky enough to have a good pension, people with a lot of skills are often in that situation. Example would be retired executives or retired professionals like engineers, retired technical people like those in the IT industry. Very often they can pick and choose what they want to do. So managing them is a lot like managing in volunteer organizations like charities, because when people encounter management styles that they do not appreciate, they can walk. They can do it quickly, and they can take with them their brain trust of knowledge. It requires a little bit different management skill. We would like to believe that all managers are good managing people, but as we know, not everyone is. The ability to manage human beings, knowing how to do that in the right way, speak words of encouragement, say hello to them, pat them on the back when they do a good job, give them corrective feedback when necessary, become more important in the talent war of the future. And that's particularly true with older workers.
That's a huge challenge there. I think managers really almost have to evolve into another form of executive, because up until now, I would say through most of the post-World War II age, the boom years and whatnot, managers have really been managing the generation younger or a peer group. And now a manager is going to be called upon to manage a cross-generational workforce where you're managing grandparents and grandchildren, so to speak.
That's right.
And everything in between.
That's correct. That will require a special skill set. Many organizations may not have managers who have ever been properly trained on managing people. You don't get that in an MBA program. It does pose a challenge, and when I say managing people, I mean teaching managers on a skill-based level how to do things like coaching, how to do things like provide feedback, how to provide encouragement. These are things that they should always have been doing, but the difference is that with a workforce of volunteers, they have to be better at it.
The title of the book is Working Longer, written by William J. Rothwell, Harvey Stearns, Diane Spokas, and Joel Reeser. And we'd like to thank one of the authors, William J. Rothwell. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee, and I'm here with Christina Parisi and Ellen Caden. They're both executive editors with Amacom Books, a division of the American Management Association. Today, they have a couple of Amacom titles that they'd like to recommend to us.
Christina, let's begin with you. The title you'd like to talk about is Strategic Staffing by Tom Bechet. I noticed that it's a second edition, so what's new about this edition?
It's certainly not a secret that there's potentially a huge labor shortage and talent war coming. Some say that by 2010, there won't be enough workers to fill the available jobs, and I've even heard projections that by 2012, there'll be a shortage of more than 3 million workers. While most of the first edition was still valid, there were new issues that needed to be addressed. New edition talks about how to figure out just what the impact of retirements will be on your business, or how to use plans to figure out the succession planning and employee development. Part of strategic staffing is figuring out the skill set that you need for every job in your company and figuring out the skills that all of your employees have so that if somebody suddenly leaves and a position becomes vacant, you can quickly figure out who in the company can fill that position.
So the audience for this book, would you say that they're HR executives or directors?
Certainly people who look at the overall picture of staffing will want it, the HR directors and the hiring managers, but it goes beyond that. It has customizable Excel spreadsheets, evaluation forms, and sample staffing plans, basically everything that you would need to set up a plan yourself. I think it's going to be useful for managers and small business owners as well.
Ellen, what book would you like to share with us today?
Our new book is called Joe's Law by Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
And who is Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
Joe Arpaio is the very popular and controversial sheriff of Maricopa County in Arizona. And Arpaio has served as sheriff there for 16 years with an average approval rating of 80%. He's well known for the strict discipline and unorthodox procedures that take place in his prison. For example, he brought back chain gangs for both male and female prisoners. He has some of his inmates actually living outside in bargain-priced army tents left over from the Korean War. The national media often refer to him as America's toughest sheriff, but Sheriff Joe is actually popular not only because of his no-nonsense approach to law enforcement, but also because he has instituted a lot of humane programs for educating and rehabilitating inmates.
Wow, that sounds like quite a character. So what do you expect your readers them to take away from reading his book?
He's got such remarkable experience. He was a drug enforcement agent for 32 years, and he worked undercover in some of the world's most dangerous places. Between that and his experience in America and dealing with illegal immigration, he's got a lot of fascinating ideas about how America should be handling the problems that threaten it, and some interesting stories to tell about one of our presidential candidates, John McCain, with whom he obviously has had a relationship in Arizona, which has had its ups and downs. So I think readers will be interested in that as well.
So again, these two titles are Strategic Staffing by Tom Bechet and Joe's Law by Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Lynn Sherman. Elle and Christina, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As always, we'd love to get your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.